Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching focusing on living in perilous times was recorded at our 2008 Southern California Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
In Mark chapter 13, I forget what verse, around verse 23 somewhere, Jesus said that even the Son doesn't know the day that the second return will come. The Father is the only one that knows that. Even the Son, even Jesus doesn't know the day of His second coming. But the Father only knows that. No man knows it. Jesus doesn't know it. When anybody tells you that there's 88 reasons why Jesus is coming back in 1988, just write Ichabod over their head. Some of you weren't around during that, but there was a guy that wrote a book and got millions of people to buy into it and send him money, prophesying that the second return of the Lord would come in 88. When it didn't happen in 88, he wrote a book that said 89 reasons why the Lord is coming in 89. And there's people that bought that book. How dumb can you get and still breathe? Anytime somebody predicts the second return of the Lord, just write Ichabod over them. The word Ichabod means the glory has departed. God isn't inspiring it. Even Jesus doesn't know. Nobody else knows. You can say things like we're in the last days because the Bible says we're in the last days, but we don't know the day that He's coming. We don't know the year that He's coming. Anyway, that's a whole separate issue. Those things are in God's power. That is not your business. But, verse 8 says, but you shall receive power. And it's making a contrast. In other words, knowing when the second coming is not under your control. You don't have any authority. It's not your business. You don't have power over that. But here's something I am giving you power over. But you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The Lord is saying, I want you to see this contrast, because to me, this makes it even stronger when you understand verse 8. He's saying, you don't have any control. This isn't your business. It's not under your authority to know when I'm coming back. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you are going to receive things that are under your control. You are going to have authority. There are going to be things that are your part. And boy, this brings up a great issue. I wish I had time to teach for about a week or two on this. If any of you watched my programs this last week, I was talking about the sovereignty of God, the wrong use of the term sovereignty, the religious connotation where it just says that God controls everything. That is absolutely wrong. This is saying that there are certain things under God's control, such as the second coming of the Lord, but then there's certain things under your control, such as being a witness. You receive power, and now it's up to you to witness. The Lord is not going to use angels to witness. And this is lost on most Christians today. They're just praying and they're asking God to save their loved ones, and they're in their prayer closet praying for people to be saved. People do not get saved through prayer. That's a shocker to some of you. That's in that book on prayer. You ought to get it. You can't pray a person into the kingdom. And there's people that do this all the time and try and do it, and they're frustrated wondering why that doesn't happen. It says over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God that lives and abides forever. And the word for seed there is the Greek word spora. It's talking about a seed that is planted in the ground, but it comes from the word sperma. It's a derivative of the word sperma, which is talking about a sperm that, you know, a child is conceived from. In the same way that a plant or a person doesn't just come, the stork doesn't bring them, you got to plant a seed. And if there is no seed planted, you aren't going to get a person, nor are you going to get a crop. You got to plant a seed. And people are born again, not through prayer, but through the seed, the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. You've got to be born again by hearing the truth. And how does that work? Somebody has to preach. Romans chapter 10 says, how can they believe without a preacher? And how can they preach except they are sent? You've got to share the word with somebody. God gave us power to witness. And no angel has the authority or the power to witness. If you are just praying that God out of the blue touches a person and saves them, it's never going to happen. Now, if somebody has already shared the truth with them, then you can pray. It's like water, pouring water on the seed that's already been planted, that God would bring that word back to their remembrance. John 14, 26. You can pray that the confusion will be gone. You can bind the devil. There's other things you can do, but you can water barren ground and fertilize barren ground until Jesus comes and nothing's going to grow. You can pray for a person to be saved, but if they don't know the Word of God, if nobody is sharing the truth with them, they won't be born again. Why? Because God didn't give power and authority to angels to do this. He gave it to physical human beings. You will receive power, authority, responsibility to witness unto Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And in the 10th chapter of Acts, I'm talking as fast as I can. I got a lot to say tonight, so I'm not going to turn over there, but Carol will probably put this up on the screen. But in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, there was a man named Cornelius, a devout man, one of the centurions in the Roman army. And his prayers reached up, and God heard his prayers, and an angel appeared unto him. And the angel told him to send men to Joppa and inquire in the house of Simon a tanner for one Simon Peter, and he will come and tell you words whereby you and your house may be saved. Why didn't the angel just tell him how to get saved? Don't you think the angel knew how to tell him to get saved? You know why the angel didn't just tell him the gospel? It would have been a lot more efficient. Rather than spend 2 days go get Peter and 2 days back, 4 days and expense and effort. Why didn't the angel just tell him? Because the angel didn't have power. Authority. The Greek word that's used in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 is you shall receive power, dunamis. It's the word we get dynamite, dynamo, dynamic from. Man, miraculous, supernatural ability, power, and authority comes when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So here's the point that I'm trying to get through across through all these things I'm saying. When it talks about people denying, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, one of the ways that you can apply this is that you can't just claim Christianity. You can't just be born again, even though that's absolutely essential. You must be born again. John chapter 3, you must also wait until you are endued with power from on high, and you must receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And basically today, the vast majority of Christianity is not preaching the power of the Holy Spirit. They aren't proclaiming our dependency upon the Holy Spirit. They have substituted rituals and laws and rules for the Holy Spirit. And they're living a powerless Christian life. I said this at the close of this morning's message. If you were here, I guess you heard this. But there are people, you know, the Christian life isn't just difficult, it's impossible. God has commanded us to live up to a standard that is beyond human ability. He told us to live like Him. The works that He did shall we do also, and greater works than these shall He do, because He goes unto His Father. John 14, 12. You are supposed to go out and heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Matthew chapter 10, I believe it's verse 4 or 5. You're commanded to do these things. How do you do this? How do you raise the dead? How do you open up blind eyes? How do you live supernatural? How do you do these things? Well, there are a lot of Christians who have been born again, and they are out there in their own effort trying to live a victorious life and to do all of these things. And I'm telling you, it's impossible. It's absolutely impossible to live up to the standard that Jesus gave in your own power. You must receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, before you can even begin to start fulfilling what God has called you to be. And we have a lot of people today that have been convicted that they need a Savior, so they've confessed Jesus as their Lord. If they were to die right now, they would go to heaven because they are born again, but they don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, again, if I had time, I could go to every one of these scriptures and prove this to you, but just a couple of chapters over, Peter, James, and John, all of the apostles, if you remember when Jesus was crucified, they all forsook him and fled. Peter even denied three times that he even knew the Lord and swore with oaths to seal it that he had nothing to do with Jesus. He just totally failed big time. But after the resurrection of Jesus, he told them to wait until they were endued with power. And when the Holy Spirit came upon them, Peter was a transformed man. He stood up and boldly proclaimed the gospel, and 3,000 people got born again. And so the scribes and the Pharisees came and arrested them and drew them before the council and beat them and said, "You cannot preach in the name of Jesus." And this man who had denied Jesus just 40-something days before this, had denied that he even knew him, swore with an oath, was in total fear. This man now boldly stood and he says, "You judge yourself which is proper. Should we obey God or man? We can't help but say the things." And they beat him again and he refused to back down. And finally they said they took knowledge of him that he had been with Jesus. He was a weakling before. He was rebuked by Jesus and said, "Get behind me, Satan." He was a mouthpiece for the devil. He was always sticking his foot in his mouth. The only time Peter opened his mouth was to change feet. He was always making a mistake. He was always failing. And yet, all of a sudden, the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes. And now this guy is bold, became the leader of the church. And most people believe that Peter lived another 34 years after the resurrection of Jesus, and during those 34 years, he remained faithful. He was such a strong man. He was crucified upside down because he said he wasn't worthy to be crucified in the same position as Jesus was crucified in. And he went to his death joyfully and suffered a martyr's death.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on how to live through perilous times. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Southern California Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a five-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM232 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the third teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to thank those of you who are partners with this ministry. You know, it's your giving that has enabled us to reach 2.2 billion people on this earth. But there are more that we can reach. There's so much more that we can do. We want multiple broadcasts. We want to be able to just saturate the airwaves so that people can't avoid this truth. And it just takes a lot of money. We are about halfway there to our goal of just making this, putting it in the face of people so that they have to confront these truths. I'd like to ask you to pray about becoming a monthly partner with us. That's how God supplies our needs, is through our partners. And if you would call, we would love to share with you and have you become a monthly partner with us.